Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Matt Roberge, and joined with my good friend Julius
Hello.
Thompson, and we're going to talk about worship today. What it is, how do we worship ourselves in our daily lives, and we're not really going to get into corporate worship, I don't think. That'll be later in the week, but personal worship, what it means, how does God view it, you know, things like that.
Yeah, so worship. First, I want to thank you, Pastor Matt, for being here. And so worship, I think this is a topic that can be like a fluid concept, you know, a concept that it could mean a lot of things in the church. You know, is it a feeling? Is it a song? You know, is it an act? You know, is it something that we actually raise our hands to? Like, is that worship? Is there a song that's actually worshipful and songs that aren't, you know? But like, I think it's clear in the Bible, in the book of Genesis chapter 22 is the first time that the word is mentioned. Worship is, and of course it's the story of Abraham and Isaac. And it's the story where God tells Abraham to sacrifice his son. And he is starting to get prepped to actually do this thing by faith. And he says to his servants, I'm speaking of Abraham, stay with the stuff while I go up on the mountain to worship, you know. And I think that's awesome. Like, it is a perfect picture of like submission and sacrifice, really. Like, he, like, here is your promised son that you have waited so long for, and God tells you sacrifice him. And then if you actually notice what they're bringing up the hill, so I think it's Abraham, he keeps the light, but then there's Isaac who takes up each thing that's heavy, like the wood and the things that, and some people think that, you know, he was about 17 years old. Like, Isaac was 17, and of course his dad is an old man at this point, which shows you that he's just like, he's accepting what his father is saying to him. He could have pushed him off. Like, he could have fought his father off. Like, what is going on here? But he didn't. Like, he submitted to his father. And of course, we actually know at the end of the story that he didn't have to sacrifice his son, really. So I think it's clear that what God is saying worship is. No, it's not a song. Like, it's not something that we necessarily do, but it's a disposition of the heart. You know, like, there's someone that is above me. And when it comes to worship, of course I can worship other things, you know, myself, my looks, I'm smart, and you know, or I'm smarter than this person. There's so many things that I can worship. But God actually makes it clear that you shall have no other gods before me. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's my first thought on worship. It's sacrifice and submission. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, the word worship is to kiss towards, right?
Yes, yeah.
Kiss towards. And if you think of like ancient culture, there was like the king and his ring,
yes.
Or just the bowing and sometimes kissing the ground,
yes.
In front of a leader.
Yes.
But the idea of it's like utter submission, like you said.
Yeah.
Submission, surrendering of my will. And that's what I thought of when you said, you know, Abraham taking Isaac up. It's like a surrender.
Yes.
Like, it's not my will, but your will be done. And that's amazing. Like, that's what worship is.
Yes.
And I love that it says, he says to his servants, we're going up to worship.
Yes.
Like, in the midst of this incredible, like, trial, you could say, like the hardest thing he's going to have to do in his life.
Mm.
He says, I'm going to worship.
Mm.
right? That's amazing. It's because worship is not based on my circumstances. Mm-hmm. It's based on who God is and worshiping God for who he is, submitting to him. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about it's interesting that in Matthew 4, when Jesus goes to the wilderness to be tempted.
Such a good passage. Like, I was going to say something about that, but please keep going.
And Satan.
So good.
Satan says to bow down and worship me.
Yes.
Right? Did you have something you want to say?
No. Please keep going. Like, I'm like, go, Matt. Go, Pastor Matt.
And it's like, this is the idea that Satan is perpetrating in the world.
Yes.
It's not necessarily that he wants you to worship him.
Yeah.
It's kind of just don't worship Christ.
Wow. Yeah.
Just don't worship Christ.
Yeah.
Just do your own thing.
Yes.
And then Isaiah 53, it says that all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way.
Yes.
And that's like, that's a deviation from worship where it's now me. Like,
yes.
I'm worshiping myself. It's my way. My way is going to be what. So what you said about Abraham worshiping, let's go up to worship. It's like a surrender.
Yes.
Submission. I'm kissing towards. It's like the ring comes out and I just absolutely fully vulnerable. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The kiss towards, like, there's no protecting yourself.
Yes.
I'm bowing. It's like my rights and my interests are not in my mind.
Yeah.
It's like full on submission and to the authority in front of me.
Yeah. The thought that I had was like, you know, you will have no other gods before me. And I'm thinking that that is so important. You know, that thought really, it kind of binds us. Like, we can actually worship, you know, like the same God, and each person have the same spirit because we have the same Father, you know? Like, I think the things that we can get into in a church, like, or just like friends or brothers, there can be things that we don't, that we can disagree on. But like, I think like the common thing, like the common thread that actually joins us is Christ, in that we worship like the same God. And I think the world, self has become like, absolutely has become, you know, like the new God, really. Like, it's about me and what I feel. Mm-hmm. And I can't have that common thread with you, that same spirit. We can't actually drink from the same spirit and worship the same God and have the same mind and have the same Father if I'm actually worshiping myself. And I think when it comes to God, each thing that we can worship that's not God, it can just eat us alive, or like, it will never satisfy us. Like, I just can't have enough of myself. But actually, the thing that actually makes you most miserable is self. Mm-hmm. But we keep going back to it, you know? So I think it says something about God that he made us to worship. Each person, if you actually know it or not, each person was made to worship. Mm-hmm. Do you, like, you want to speak a little bit more on that? Being made to worship.
I think, there's definitely a, well, one of the questions we were posed was, does God need worship? Uh-huh. And I think we'll maybe get back to being made to worship, but God does not need worship. Uh-huh. He's like fully confident in who he is. He's 100% secure.
Yeah.
So what is worship for? It's for us. We're made to worship. It's not that we be worshiped, but we're made to worship.
Yes.
God. And like, in that we find fulfillment.
Yes.
And speaking of which, in Hebrews 11, it's an amazing passage about faith. And the first person mentioned is Abel. It's not Adam. Because Adam actually was face to face.
Yes.
Abel's like the first person that's engaging God without ever having seen him.
Wow.
And it says here in Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. I'm sorry, Hebrews 11:4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which, this is interesting, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. There's an interesting relationship here with the sacrifice and then affirmation from God. And my worship is like a personal sacrifice, and then I get affirmation from God. And personally, worship, like not when I'm like hands up high, you know, praising God, but when I'm worshiping him in my heart, in my attitude, in my thinking, like I can feel an affirmation from God.
Yes.
Because I'm sacrificing my own will and I feel his presence and his pleasure. And that's like, that's what I was made for. And that's what we were all made for. And in that step of faith, God is like so pleased. And if you think about it, like faith is, I believe faith is one of the greatest forms of worship in terms of like the way God views it. If you think about when Jesus was on earth, like any time there was faith, he like stopped.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, did you guys see that?
Yeah, like he's always pleased with faith.
Yeah.
Right?
Because it's like, if you think about it from his perspective, which is hard to do, but like we've never seen him.
No.
But if we like 100% like agree and like amen what he says, like he's so blown away.
Yes.
Not to like toot our own horns.
Yeah.
But he's just so blessed that we would make him real in time.
Yes.
He's real, but in my life I make him real. And he's like so blessed by that, so pleased that we receive an affirmation from him. We feel his pleasure.
Yes.
In worship.
That's good. Yeah, so that's the key that you said, like the sacrifice really is your will. You know, like I'm not going to do that. Like I want to do God's will instead. And you brought up Abel in Hebrews 11. Like I think of that story of Cain and Abel, you know, the first act of worship maybe, or the first sacrifice really. And God, he goes and he accepts the first offering from Abel and he rejects the from Cain. And I'm like thinking, well, why is that? And it's like, I think it's because Cain, he actually followed like his own will, right? Like he actually wanted God to accept his worship and not see his heart, really. But when it came to Abel, God, his worship was a result of his, you know, walk with God, right? Each day. So yes, like a worship is a sacrifice. And when it comes to like a personal sacrifice, it comes down to the will. That's awesome thought.
Yeah. Romans chapter 12. This is one of my favorite verses for worship, is Romans 12:1.
Yes. So good.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is like an oxymoron.
Yes.
But a living sacrifice, because it's surrendering of my will, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The word service can also be translated worship.
Worship, yes.
And in Hebrews 9, it's like the ministry of the high priest.
Yes.
Is like a laid down life of service and like bringing the sacrifice before God. It's like you almost feel bad for the high priests, because that's their life.
Yes.
But that's like what we're called to, like complete surrender of my life. And I'm fully serving, and that's worship. Like the high priests were called worshipers as well.
Yes.
And when I present my life a living sacrifice, like it's not about my will, but it's God's will, then that is this word, reasonable service, is like a logical.
Yeah, like it makes sense.
It makes sense that I would worship.
Yes.
God.
It's like, duh, come on, yeah. Man. Like, it's like, I mean, there is nothing else in this world that will satisfy you, yeah. You know, but God. And it's like, he's like, you know, saying it over and over again. There's one phrase that God says throughout the Old Testament a lot. He tells his people, I am the God that brought you out of Egypt. It's like he has to like keep bringing us back of like, mm-hmm. you know, like why we worship him, you know, like it's a thought that can, you know, actually flee us maybe, you know, like I think of, you know, singing and playing and just being like busy. I can totally miss worship. It's like I have to go back to the purpose of actually what we are doing. It's not just to sound great. I mean, yes, of course that's important, but really, like, again, it's going back to the heart. Our heart of worship is God King in our life, you know? And, I think that's the key, right?
Yeah.
His ways are now actually my ways.
So, yeah. Yeah. Which I think this brings up the difference between praise and worship.
Yes. It's so good.
Because praise is like there's different words, but yada is one. Mm-hmm. And it's basically giving thanks.
Yes.
So, and you can give, in the Psalms, there's like hundreds of different things to give thanks for.
For sure.
And one is, you know, what he did for us.
Yes.
One is, you know, the majesty of creation. And there's all kinds of different things, giving thanks to God. Mm-hmm. But praise is not worship. It's an expression of worship.
Yes. Yes.
Worship has to happen first in my heart. And then it's the internal thing. Yes. Praise is the external expression.
Yeah, like I have, it's an outward acknowledgement of like God. Like I'm actually praising him. And I can praise many things. I can praise my son.
Yeah.
You know, he actually had a great week in school. I can praise him. But when it comes to worship, that's different. Like it's God alone.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, yes, they are completely different,
right?
But also kind of connected as well, right?
So there's like a level of worship. Like there's different levels of worship. Because I can worship, like, say, my son.
Yes.
I can worship him in a way.
Yes.
And I can worship my wife. I can worship somebody I really esteem, respect, value, appreciate, honor. Like I can bestow those things on somebody, but there's a certain type of worship that's only for God.
Yes.
And like we see that Peter rejected worship, right? When he healed the man at the gate, and they tried to worship him and he said no.
No.
And in Revelation 22, the angel with John bowed down to worship him, and he said, stand up, I'm a man.
Yes.
Or I am one that serves God like you. Mm. Like I was a fallen saint or something. Not fallen, but already gone home.
Yes.
Like, what's the word?
Sorry.
But what was I saying? Yeah, there's a category of worship that's only for God.
Yes.
And that's like the kissing towards the surrender of my will. Because my will is really the biggest hurdle.
Yes.
To worship.
Yes. Just a thought. In the book of Deuteronomy 10, verse 12, fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. Like, I'm thinking of David, where he actually danced before the Lord, you know. It's like he is asking for the entire part of you, like all of you, really. And I think sometimes, like, people can start to think about worship, well, you know, it shouldn't look this way because that's too emotional, or mm-hmm. we like shouldn't do this in worship because it's not really biblical. But what does it look like to worship God with your whole being? You know, like, I think that's a question to kind of think about. You know, it doesn't have to look exactly the way that we actually do it in church. Mm-hmm. And another thought is, can we worship God, you know, anywhere? I think, of course, the answer is yes, because it's not about, you know, singing songs to him. You know, it's mm-hmm. about the heart. But when it comes to worship and some of its, like, outward expressions, do you want to comment on that?
I think that basically I have to think with God.
Yes.
All the time.
Yes.
And if I'm not thinking with God, I'm not going to be a worshiper. Because John chapter 4, the classic verse on worship,
yeah,
they that worship God must worship him in spirit and truth.
Yeah.
So truth is like I'm thinking with God.
Thinking, like you're actually thinking, yes, in the midst of this, yeah.
And it's basically categorical doctrine.
Yes.
Like who God is in categories.
Yes.
And that is completely devoid of my circumstances.
Yes.
If I am focused on circumstances, there is no worship.
Yes.
But if I can think of God, then I can worship. Yeah. And the interesting thing about the Spirit is that in John 16:13, it says the Spirit guides you into truth.
Yes.
So I'm not going to understand the categories of who God is without the Spirit.
Yeah.
So my worship needs the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
To lead me into truth, because truth is outside of me.
Yes.
So I learn that, like, I don't know, the question is about manifestation. It's like, I don't know that there's a manifestation other than that I know that my thoughts are thinking with God.
Yes.
If I'm thinking about my manifestation of worship, yeah, then I'm not worshiping, because, yes, I'm not thinking about God.
Yes, yes.
So it's, yeah. I think my day-to-day life, like, I can be doing the most mundane thing.
Yes.
Like, really mundane, maybe even annoying.
But I
could have a good attitude in it, yes, if I'm thinking about God and concentrating on him. Like Pastor Stevens used to say, that the highest form of worship is concentration.
Yes.
Which, yeah, I grew up hearing that and just repeated it a million times. But then I thought about it.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm focused on something, that's like if someone's talking to me and I'm not interested to what they're saying, it's like they feel it.
Mm.
But if I'm concentrated, like, it's like, and I'm locked into what you're saying to me, like, that's like a reciprocal thing, and it's appreciated by the person speaking. And God appreciates when we concentrate on him. So manifestations, I don't know. Like, we can fall into cultures of worship.
Sure.
And that can be okay. Like, it can lead me somewhere. Go ahead.
No, sorry. Yeah, like, I think it's kind of secondary.
Yeah.
Back to the heart again. And of course, that focus in that mind on God, you know. I think it can be hard to balance that, though, if, you know, there are things that can get in the way, like you spoke of circumstances, you know, like how, like, you know, it's hard to focus. One thing that I do actually love about worship kind of in the church setting is that it's an opportunity to focus on that one thing. You know what I mean? I mean, of course, we've all had those days where you work hard and you have, you know, stuff going on, and, you know, like the house is crazy. Like, there's so many crazy things happening at my house right now. But to come to church, worship, not just, you know, songs, but it's an opportunity to kind of recalibrate and to focus on that one thing that is most important. Mm-hmm. And just because I wasn't focusing maybe all day on those things doesn't mean that God is not, you know, important, of course. Mm-hmm. But I think that's just a part of our walk as Christians. Like, okay, like, we got to get back. It's like, I am the Lord God that actually brought you out of Egypt. It's like, okay, like, I need to get back on track and focusing on the main thing. I think that is fantastic. It's a great part about having like a personal worship and also like a worship that we have here in our church that can be prayer, you know, it can be singing, it can be, you know, hearing the word of God and actually focusing on that. So I think worship, it's a huge part of our life. So, yeah.
Yep. Focusing on God. Yeah. I'm not saying that it's like easy to do.
Oh, no.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
But it's something that you do grow in.
Yes.
The more Bible that you intake, the more easily you can be apt to think with God. I mean, it sounds silly, but...
No, it does not sound silly. Yeah.
Like, the more that I am in the Word of God, it's just easier for me to just slip right into thinking about it, which makes me slip into worship, because I can...
Practice in the presence of God.
Yeah, I can focus on God.
Yes.
Because I have something in there that I've meditated on.
Yes.
And those are like the best thoughts are when you're just in the mundane doing your job or whatever, cleaning a bathroom, doesn't like making dinner. And then you're just thinking about a verse, and like some God gives you like a thought from the verse.
Yes.
That you can only get through meditation. Mm. You're not going to get it just by reading it one time.
No.
It's got to be mulling around. Yes. And God honors that, and he gives you a little nugget.
Yes.
That you just take with you.
Yeah, like it's a deeper understanding, you know, because I can say it. Like, our family has a verse that we, like, think on, you know, for the week. Really, it's like, it's for me too, you know. Like, yes, we actually read our Bible, and, like, something can, you know, stick out to us. But that time of just, like, you know, actually saying the verse, you know, over and over, and it just becomes like deeply ingrained in us. I really do think it shows us who God is, which has a deep impact on our worship. You know what I mean? Because I don't think we would worship God if he wasn't who he was. If we didn't know him, right. You know, if we didn't spend time in our Bible, or if we didn't see him actually work in our life, like, yeah, why would we worship him?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah, like, I don't want it to be something that I just do, but really it comes from actually spending time with him in the word.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like you said.
Yeah. That's what Jesus said to the woman at the well. He said, you worship, but you don't know what was the word.
Yeah.
You don't know how. Uh-huh. You don't know what. And many Christians, myself included, like, we don't know God like the way that we should. So our worship is only to a certain extent.
Yes.
But we can, the more that we know God, the deeper our worship is. Because you worship, but you don't know what. But the time is coming when you will worship in spirit and truth, because you know the Spirit is in you.
Yes.
And you know who He is, because the Spirit is teaching you all things in Romans 8. Mm-hmm. And you're learning of who God is, and more you worship.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so I have a quote by Mr. William Temple. Worship is the quickening of the conscience by the holiness of God. It's to feed the mind with the truth of God. It's to purge the imagination by the beauty of God. It's to open the heart to the love of God. And it's to change your will to the purpose of God. I think that is awesome, because it gives like different parts. Like, yes, it's like sacrifice. Yes, it's submission, but what actually comes with that? You know, like it's, it starts to quicken the conscious by the holiness of God. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, God is holy. And it's like, I'm thinking of being quickened. I can be like, you know, actually dull, or what's the, or I can like,
yeah,
be familiar, you know, with who God is, you know, like He is holy. Like, and He is in the He's in the business of actually making us whole. Mm-hmm. And the way that He does that is through this worship and spending time in His Word, to feed the mind with the truth of God. Just like you said, like I can't worship God with just like part of me, you know, like kind of just how I feel in the moment, or just my emotions, or or like I just got. Like I just got like a brand new car and I just want to worship God. It's like, okay, you know, that's true. Like you did get a new car, but like think on His truth. Like, like He is true, you know, He is, the absolute truth. Sorry. To purge the imagination by the beauty of God, like thinking on God, like I'm thinking of praise as well. You know, like I'm praising Him for like who He is, and to open the heart to the love of God. Like, you know, God's heart is soft, and His love actually makes our heart soft, you know? So, sorry, I think my mic is too far. I forgot my thought.
It's about the beauty of God.
Yeah, like the beauty of God and the love of God. It's important. I lost it. Oh, no.
No, it was good. I love that. I like what you said about the holiness of God. Like, I think about that a lot. I try to.
Yes.
Because it's like I can't really understand His holiness.
Yeah.
But I do like to imagine His holiness.
Yeah.
And like the word holy is like set apart.
Yes.
It's like so untainted.
Yes.
Basically. It's its own separate, amazing, unique, set apart, pure, holy thing. And like God is like this amazing, like set apart, but at the same time, like we are indwelled.
He's by Him. In us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like little things like that, as I learn who God is, His holiness, His loving kindness, His mercy, His compassions that fail not. Like as I learn a little bit more and more, like I'm just provoked, quickened into an attitude of worship. Like I love that quote. Like,
yes.
Quickened. Purity, His beauty. Like, yes. That was a good quote. I want you to read it again.
Okay, I'll do it again just for you. Worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God. It's to feed the mind with the truth of God. It's to purge the imagination by the beauty of God. And it's to open the heart to the love of God. That is William Temple.
Purge the imagination.
Yeah. What does that mean? Purge the imagine. Like, I guess we can have vain thoughts.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, I've had some vain thoughts.
Just a few.
Just a few. Some vain thoughts. And they can be purged by how, by God. Mm. And I think what is beautiful about him, of course, we can talk about his love and his faithfulness, but really his plan as well is like beautiful for you and for me, that he comes and he kinds of intersects, mankind and like fixes it all. And like there is, that is beautiful. And I was just thinking when it comes to worship and, I don't think there are words that are much more powerful than like, I will never leave you. I will never leave. Like, think about how amazing that I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I mean, so that means, if you're gone or if you do something that I don't like, I'm not going to go behind your back or like leave you or say one thing about you. And, but like, I am, actually with you. I'm like for you. And I think like, man, like that God, he is definitely, he is definitely worthy of my worship. You know what I mean? So yeah. Worship.
I like to think about what God receives as worship. We have our ideas of what worship is, but then what God actually receives as worship beyond what I think God receives. Like Cain might have thought God received it, but with Cain's sacrifice, it said that God did not have respect to it.
Yes.
Which basically he didn't even notice it.
Wow.
He didn't see it. And that's like our efforts.
Yeah.
The drumming up of my emotions or my flesh is like bringing something to God and he just doesn't even see it.
Wow.
But what does God receive as worship? It's, well, there's simple faith.
Yeah.
There's agreeing with God on anything. Like, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Like, if I take that to heart.
Yes.
And believe it, like, God receives that as worship.
Yes.
Like, just me believing what he said is like a sweet smelling savor to him.
Yes.
Another thing is like prayers, which they're going to get into, worship through prayer later this week. But Cornelius, who wasn't even a Christian, prayed and an angel spoke to him and said, your prayers are gone up to God as like a sweet smelling savor.
Wow.
And he wasn't even a Christian. Like he wasn't a believer, but he was God fearing. Like, it's amazing what God receives as worship, but yet sometimes we want to narrow it. But God is like any kind of interaction.
Yes.
From us, from a pure heart.
He's like seeking people to actually worship him. He's like seeking, like, hello, hello, anyone, I think actually through our mindset, we think, oh, like, has to be polished or like it has to be a certain way before he can receive it. But no, it's the complete opposite. It's like real, like God knows it all anyway. I don't have to fake and pretend that, I'm sorry to say this, but I don't have to polish like a turd. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He completely knows what it is already. And he actually knows our heart. So yeah, that's a great thought and something that I can think on for a long time. actually, what kind of worship does God receive?
I was thinking about Psalm 33. It's one of my favorite chapters. It says, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. I was thinking about that today. Praise is comely for the upright. Like, it's praise and worship is something that like fits.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, we were made for worship. Mm. Like it's something that it's like a puzzle piece in my life that fits.
Yes.
It's very important. Mm. And if it's in there, like it's fitting. The word comely is like, it's right. It's fitting. It's the right thing. Is that praise is in my life and worship is a part of my life.
Yes. Like I think, yeah, I mean, you know, the heart of worship, and I think, you know, actually one of the things that God says in a Psalm 150 that, you know, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Like the nature of worship is that it's, you know, inclusive, you know, it's like whomever, you know, a God is seeking us, you know, to worship him. So.
Yes. The Father seeks such to worship him. John chapter 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we've said a lot.
I think we've said a lot too.
But to stay in the John chapter 4.
Yeah.
It's a good place, I think, to finish. Like Jesus actually talking about worship. He didn't talk much about it.
It's funny that the Old Testament has a lot to say about it, actually.
Right.
But the New Testament doesn't really have a lot. Like, I think, but that doesn't mean that the Old Testament, we should kind of not, you know, actually focus on it and accept it, you know.
Right.
Of course, you know, there were sacrifices. And now, like, Christ in the New Testament is a sacrifice actually once and for all. And now we worship him, you know.
Right.
So that's one of the major differences between the Old Testament and the New Testament. But let's go to John 4.
Yeah, I was going to say that Jesus also never refused worship. Mm. Like if somebody worshiped him, he let them.
And the Pharisees actually hated him for it.
Yes.
they hated him for it.
So verse 19 of John chapter 4, the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive you're a prophet."
Yeah.
And then she goes right into this. Hmm. "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where man ought to worship." Right? So she had misconceptions about worship.
Yeah.
There were different people saying different things. She thought maybe one thing, and they were saying this. And Jesus just says, "Woman, like, come on."
Yeah. Yeah. And like, think about that, you know, a woman, like she was completely changed. You know, she goes back into town and she, you know, actually tells everyone that, you know, this man has come and told me everything about myself. And he ends up spending the entire weekend with people that he wasn't even supposed to be actually talking to, you know? Mm. And it came from all this, from this concept of being broken of worship. Mm. So thank you, Pastor Matt, for this time. Thank you to Sebastian. This is a great topic and I'm excited to hear the rest of the week.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us.